This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:45. This is the evening edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And up next, we want to know, how do we ever really find out how much elections cost? How many of us really think about that? And the importance of that being transparent. So this is coming from a study by Tindak Malaysia that was published on Malaysia Kini, which looked into exactly this issue, the need to disclose election costs and expenditure.
So this comes on the wake of a written parliamentary reply earlier this year that showed that the 2020 Sabah elections cost the country 130 million ringgit. And just to go through that brief itemized expenditure, it is very brief. So they specified 69 million ringgit on rentals, 39 million ringgit on professional services, other acquired services and hospitality.
That is brief.
I know, just those two things really. And I think this has given rise to questions in terms of what exactly those are and are some of those necessary?
Yeah. So election reports used to be produced by the EC, the Election Commission, and you would have a few pages to describe the costs. Up until the 70s, it would even include a payment and how much that was for various tiers of polling staff. So in Tindak Malaysia's existing research of past EC reports from 1959 to 2004, the presence of these itemized expenditures were only reported for the 1964, 1995 and 1999 Malaysian GEs and then the 1967 Sabah state election.
So Tindak Malaysia is basically calling on the Election Commission to publish annual reports with costs so that the public can have a better appreciation of those costs, as well, of course, to keep the government accountable, to keep the Election Commission accountable. So once we actually know the numbers, and if you're wondering sort of what are the things that are spent on during the election, we don't have specific numbers for these, but the major cost items are basically broken down into things like rentals for venues where voting happens, which can go up to over 40% of the budget, professional services, which could be about 30%. And then there are other minor cost items, things like repairs, F&B, overtime allowances, travel. So all of these do come into play, but we don't know how much these things are being billed for, basically.
Yeah, and actually, I never thought about it, but 130 million ringgit for that state election is just, hearing it is actually quite a hit. And especially when you don't know where that goes. And we hear this said time and time again, right? This idea of elections are expensive, by-elections are expensive. And that has sometimes resulted in people fussing over it. But I find it discomforting that fuss has not then translated into these itemized lists, into this more transparent breakdown of how much it costs, because ultimately it's our money. And I think that that is an important thing to note. So let us know, are you aware actually of where to look to find out how much elections cost? Because I can say that I definitely was not. And is this something that you're concerned about? How much do elections cost? Can they cost less? And how can they be conducted, at least financially, in a much more transparent way? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we are crossing over now to Danish Prakash Chako, who is the director of Tindak Malaysia, research analyst for the Jeffrey Sachs Centre at Sunway University. Danish, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It is an honour and privilege to speak on this topic with BFM team.
So on average, how much do elections cost, and have we seen that cost increasing over the years?
So let me address the very first part. So let's start something that is at the lower level. So from GE14 onwards, we had a string of by-elections. A DUN by-elections usually carries a budget tag between RM 1 to 2 million. This is before COVID. And before COVID, parliamentary by-election carries a price tag between 4 to 5 million ringgit. After COVID, the budget cost for the DUN level jumped to RM 4 to 5 million. And for parliamentary level, the jump wasn't that very big, which was around 5 to 6 million ringgit. This is to consider the change, the evolution of the procedures under COVID. Okay. So that's at the micro level. If you take it at, let's say, at the general election level, the GE14, the election cost, was around RM 500 million. But if you do a GE under a COVID period, it would jump to 1.2 billion ringgit. So just to give a context, before COVID, an estimated election budget per voter was less than 100 ringgit, with the exception of Cameron Highlands and Kimanis, for the reasons that these two areas had some special requirements. After COVID, the estimated election budget amount per voter is between RM100 ringgit to 200 ringgit. Okay, now let's address the second part. Has the election costs been increasing over the years? Yes, of course. From 2004 to 2018, the allocated funds for general elections have increased fivefold. So it was 100 million in 2004, and GE14, it has gone to 500 million ringgit. And all of this takes place before COVID. So this pattern, actually, you notice more strongly, especially when you study the by-election budget costs after GE14, where the jump occurred when the COVID pandemic struck and Gini by-election was done. But we noticed that the estimated election budget per voter has declined slightly after Gini.
So elections do tend to be expensive affairs. Are there ways in which this cost can be kept down?
Okay. It's a very difficult question to answer, but let's try to address this. One of the ways I could think of is actually to amend the relevant laws in the country to ensure schools and public facilities, premises only, to be used free of charge. Right now, it is worded as though it's discretionary. So that's one part. The second part is, this is something we advocate. We need to have mandatory auditing of election commission and its by-elections and general election reports on a yearly basis. Because election seems to occur in Malaysia, with the exception of this year, on every year. So hence, it is important that it's not just when Auditor General Fields needs to look into it, it should be mandatory. And from there, we are able to work out what are the things that we can reduce the costs.
Now, for people listening, I think this is a central question. Why is it important for the government to be transparent about the expenses of an election?
Okay, so there's a few reasons we want to make it clear. First and foremost, we want to ensure the public has the confidence in the Election Commission carrying out the vital democratic duty. Okay, secondly, our voters must know the benefits of this election and especially the budgets in an accessible manner. Why do I say so? So in the report and our research, especially the by-elections after GE14, the reformist EC under then leadership of Art Harun has made important infrastructural upgrades, such as adding pavements in Kimani so that the voters can go to that walk to the polling stream, the Saluran, in an easy manner. Everyone, those who are disabled, those who are elderly, and those who have any forms of difficulties to walk. So what is this? Is a permanent, and eventually the school will benefit. You also have halls that has been refurbished, so that would translate a better experience or usage of the halls way after elections. And I think the public needs to know the election budgets, while it is high, it's expensive, it has long-term infrastructure gains. And thirdly, with proper disclosure of honorariums and allowances of polling staff, like what they did in the 60s, we hope that will entice the public to participate as polling staff instead of wholesale reliance on civil service to be part of the polling staff. So, and this is very important because the experience of Batu Sapi by-election that didn't take place had indicated one issue. They didn't have enough polling staff to be for that election if that was conducted.
So how can these expenses for the elections be made more transparent and more accessible for the general public?
First and foremost, the detailed by-election expenditure itemized with rational costs should be placed online. That's number one. The election reports right now, from our analysis, is currently reduced to one page or one paragraph, their total cost. So it must go beyond that one page to explain why this is the cost for this category and how it impacts the election per se. Because that's one. Secondly, the annual reports are easy, should be made online. Currently, I cannot find them on the website. And the only version I have actually seen was somehow exist on a non-EC website.
I want to look back at the 1960s election report, which you've mentioned in your article as well as in our chat now a few times, that it's a good example for future reports to follow. Could you break down why exactly that is?
Okay, so what did, let me just refer to what occurred in 1967 Sabha state election reform. I believe that was the first direct election that was done in Sabha. So what they did is they actually mentioned the administrative cost of doing the electoral registration exercise. So they actually say, this is the amount of money we spent for advertisement, allowances, stationery, transport and traveling, miscellaneous equipment. There is no form of vagueness like rentals or professional or other hospitality. Then they also went for this, particularly for the elections, they explained ballot boxes cost this amount of money, printing of the forms cost this amount of money, stationery costs this amount of money, honorariums. And they even had a dedicated 2 pages to explain the honorarium rates for various tiers of polling staff, plus the allowances, and also the exceptions that's needed. And bear in mind, this was done in a period that when there was no internet, but you can find that in the election reports, which any member of the public can buy.
So, Danish, let's talk about accountability. Now, how and who do we keep accountable if there is wastage or discrepancies when it comes to electoral spending?
So let's address how. Okay. Currently, there's only one way we can start working on this, is ask the parliamentarian to ask for the election expenditure report from the parliament every time when there's an election. That's how we came to know about the Sabah election cost. If not, I only would have known the election budget for that for the state was around RM186 million, but the actual spending was RM130 million. So that's one. Secondly, once we know the details, itemized expenditure, then we can write to EC and say, okay, we did this analysis and we found out that EC should look into reducing the cost in these areas. Or EC should explain why the cost for this particular category is too high. So these are the two ways I could think of.
Danish, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you very much.
That was Danish Prakash Chako, who is the director of Tindap Malaysia and research analyst for the Jeffrey Sachs Centre at Sunway University, talking actually about election costs, whether or not there's sufficient transparency around it, and why it is important that we have that, why it's important that we understand how much they cost. There was a study by Tindap Malaysia, which prompted this chat. So if you wanted to check that out, you can. We've also been asking you for your thoughts. And we have a pair of messages from Ro and Stephen, which essentially are talking about that cost, right, of the Sabah state election, but beyond the money. So Ro says, it's 130 million ringgit and an untold price to pay for the explosion in COVID cases post-election. Stephen says, you know, it should probably be the most expensive election ever, probably even higher if we include the MCO losses, the medical costs, etc.
I don't think that any conversation about the cost of the Sabah election is going to be free from this, because it's really a pain point for so many Malaysians, right? Mm.
Well, speaking of pain points, every time we talk about elections, this comes up. Kelvin says, for 180 million, you can produce a very, very good software for online voting.
Yes, I know. This is a call, Kelvin, that has been going out, you know, for so many, actually for years, but has definitely intensified over the last 1 year. What can we say? We don't know either.
Especially as more and more things go online, as more yes. and more of our activities go online, I think this is just worsening the disbelief that people feel about why can't this happen. Keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.